Luke chapter 9 and verses 57 to 62, and tonight we're just focusing on 61 and 62. So here is all of the passage. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And Father, we pray that you will bless your word to our lives this evening, that we will hear it, we will believe it, and we will live it for your glory. And we ask this with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. How many of you tonight believe that it would be incredibly easy for you to go back into the world, to leave Jesus Christ, to leave it all, and head right back into the world? How many of you believe tonight that that would be an easy thing to do? No hands? You got one hand over here? You're not sure? You got another hand? Slowly they're popping up. Slowly but surely. Can I put this one up here? I think that it would be incredibly easy to walk away. Amazingly easy to walk away and walk back right into the world. And I think it's for that reason, just because it is so easy, that we meet this next customer, the third of three. You remember the last time that we took a look at this passage, and the one before that, really, we met two other individuals. The first guy was too eager, wasn't he? "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus' response was what? "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, you know, you're excited about this thing called following me, but the reality is it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Are you ready for that? And then the other individual, he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Follow me." And he says, what? "Let me first go and bury my father, then I will follow you." And what does Jesus say to him? "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God," right? Well, now this individual comes to Jesus, and Jesus' message to him is very simple. This guy's heart is still too interested in the world. He doesn't know it, but Jesus knows it. And you've got to understand that as Jesus talks to these men, he can look right into their hearts. He knows exactly what the problems are, and he's dealing with them on a very individual basis. And yet, at the same time, there's amazing widespread application for us here. Here's what he says. "Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my house." Does that seem like a reasonable thing? Does it? How many here tonight think that that was reasonable? "Follow me, okay." And this man says, "Okay, but let me first go home and say what? Goodbye to those who are at my house." Is that reasonable? I think that's very reasonable. I mean, think about it. You children, when you go away, when you leave overnight, when you go on a trip, when you leave home to go to school, what is the proper thing to do? Say goodbye. Parents, how would you feel if your children just left one day, moved out, went to school, and didn't say a word to you? Wouldn't you be hurt? I mean, this is basic. This is just the fifth commandment, which is what? Honor your father and your mother, right? What this man is doing does not seem to be unreasonable. It seems, in fact, to be keeping the fifth commandment. He just wants to honor his parents. What's wrong with that? Let me first go and say goodbye to those who are at my house. That seems like a reasonable request, does it not? But here's the thing. I don't think this man understands the pull that his family can have on him. Here's what I think. I think if this man had gone home, if he had seen mom and dad, if he had seen his brothers and sisters, if he had smelt those smells, you know, when no one makes roast lamb like mom. I mean, that's just great stuff. You know, the way she makes it, it's delicious. And he goes into his bedroom. And there's his room and the posters and the trophies and all the things that he had gathered from his young days up. And, you know, he thinks to himself, what about another day? Why not just hang around for another day? Is that possible? Yeah? And so a day goes by. And then another day. And then a week. And then a month. And then a year. And where's Jesus? It can happen, can't it? There are things in this world, even good things, that can pull us away from following Jesus Christ. And tonight I'm simply asking the question, what are they? What would keep you from giving your life and giving your life fully and completely without conditions to following Jesus Christ? To going wherever He takes you? Going wherever He tells you to go and doing the things He tells you to do. What would keep you from that? What is keeping you tonight from that? Is it family? Is it a relationship? Is it sin? Now what is that thing that is keeping you from giving yourself fully to following Jesus Christ? It's a question that's got to be asked and answered. There are things in this life, friends, that just pull us away from Jesus Christ. Pull us. Let me first go home and say goodbye to my parents. And we haven't a clue just how powerful the pull is from this world. The Word of God says this, friends. It says, flee youthful lusts. The Word of God says, you must not allow anything in this world to pull you away from following Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing at all. This man couldn't see it. I don't think we often can see it ourselves. But the reality is there. We can give ourselves to this world and leave Christ behind in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And if you don't agree with me tonight, you're in danger. If you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. I've seen people apparently walking with Jesus Christ, and the next day, they're gone. They're running with the world. Running into the arms of the world. It's so easy, isn't it? Do you not find the pull of the world? You young people, don't you find that? With the relationships and the pressures, the advertisements, the fashions, the trends, the television shows, the career, whatever it is. We are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and to turn it off and to run away, do whatever it takes to make sure that we are not going down that path, so that we don't end up at home smelling the roasted lamb and saying to ourselves, just another day, just another week, another year, and never really getting around to following Him. Not really. Jesus, the great physician, has some work to do on this man's soul. And it's great. He says this, and it's tough. You ready? Here it is. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Did you get that? No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Does that seem harsh to you? Does that seem cold and heartless? Jesus knows exactly what this man needs to hear. This man's heart is too wrapped up in the things of this world. And Jesus comes to him and says, listen, nobody, after putting his hand to the plow. And by the way, you children, you know what a plow is, right? You know what a plow is? Who uses a plow? Farmers. That's right. And they would take a plow and they would hitch it to a horse or an oxen, and the oxen would be pulling it and breaking up the ground. Why break up the ground? Put seed in there, right? And one thing that a farmer doesn't do is this. When he's got his hand on the oxen, he's not looking back like this. Why not? Why not? Because that's what happens. Those of you who drive, ever notice that when you look in your blind spot, you tend to veer off this way? That's one of the first lessons I learned as a cyclist when I was a young guy, when I was cycling. Rule of the road number one, when you look back, make sure you don't veer off in the opposite direction and drive into something. It's true, isn't it? You put your hand to the plow and you look back, you start driving a crooked line. That's what happens in the Christian life. You can't start living for Jesus Christ and then keep looking back at the world. You want to know why? Because you're going to go off the road. You're going to drive a crooked line. You're going to start doing dumb things, wrong things, sinful things. And Jesus says that nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. God hates it when people look back. Remember Lot's wife? God said what to her?
Don't look back.
What'd she do? She looked back. What happened to her? She became a pillar of salt. That's right. Now, all I want you to understand there is this, that God takes it serious when He says, don't look back. You can't look back. If you're going, if you're walking, if you're committing yourself to Jesus Christ, there can be no looking back at the world. Okay? Which means what? Where do you look? You look straight ahead. And who is ahead? That's right. Jesus is ahead. Jesus says, follow me. Jesus is always ahead. Which is good to know. Which is good to know. Because friends, the only way that we're going to keep our eyes from looking back is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, what? I forget what lies behind me, right? And what do? I reach forward to what lies ahead. And here, for us, Jesus Christ is always just ahead, leading us. And His call is to follow. So here we are, and here is the very simple message. Don't look back. Don't look back. If you started running, if you started walking, you keep going. You don't look back. If you look back, not only will you drive a crooked line, you're going to start walking in this direction. And keep walking in this direction. And you know what happens? So many never, ever, ever return. Ever. We got to live in this life, friends, and in our culture, with terrible, terrible temptations all around us. That day by day are calling out our name, beckoning us, calling us each day by name. And what we have to do is this. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to ask Him for the strength to say no to those things that lie behind. And let them lie behind you. Just forget about them. Just walk on. Just walk on. Because that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said to this man, that seemingly cold and heartless thing, He was doing this man a tremendous favor. And to you tonight, Jesus says this, nobody putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. But only those who keep their hand on the plow, who keep plowing, who keep doing the hard work, who keep that narrow walk, that difficult walk, these are fit for the kingdom of heaven. You need to know that tonight. You need to hear that tonight. Because some of you, I think, may be very, very tempted to scrap it all right now and walk away. And that would be most unwise. Most unwise. Here's what God delights in. Here's what God really delights in. It's when His people keep plodding along, difficult as it is, with all the temptations that jump out at us and want to seize us and drag us down, and we just keep on going. We just keep on plowing ahead, never looking back, always looking forward at Jesus Christ. And though it's difficult, those who get to the very end will be rewarded. And it will be no small reward. It'll be an eternity of delights and pleasures. The kind that we don't know about right now, could never know about right now. The kind that outstrips every pleasure, every worldly joy. All the things that hold us here and that we so often look back at. Pleasures at the right hand of God forevermore. And those who keep plowing, those who endure, those who refuse to look back will not be disappointed. Not then and not now. And so you keep following Him and don't look back. Amen. Father in heaven, help us in the upcoming week. And help us in the upcoming months and years to remember this. And Holy Spirit, bring this passage to our minds when we are tempted to walk back and walk away. And deal with our stubborn hearts, O God, when we are tempted to do what is absolutely foolish, to look back. Father, we pray that none of our young people will look back and walk away. We pray, Lord, that there would be a grounding in the faith such that establishes them. And Father, for those who are studying, the young adults who are facing tremendous pressures to look back, we pray, Father, that You would meet them at those points of temptation with grace upon grace. And Lord, that they would know Your divine escape. And help us all, Father, each one of us, young and old, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. To keep our eyes ever fixed on the goal that awaits the people of God. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of glory. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.